We begin the current daf Maseches Gittin daf Ayin Tes. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on one of the themes of this parak, discussing the halacha of nasim biyada, which is the halacha that the husband has to put into the woman's hand, and that we already explained in the previous daf. It doesn't mean specifically her hand; it means anything that's a nisina to her in her domain, which again is qualified like yada, that it has to be something that's mishtameris ladaita, but it doesn't have to be necessarily in our hand. And on that, our Mishnah continues with that theme, what's commonly known as Chatzar Mishum Yadis Rabbi, anything that's her, like her courtyard. So the Mishnah says, Hoysoi Medis Al Rishagag, if she was standing on top of the roof, Uzrokeila, and the husband throws it to her, let's say from the courtyard, or throws it up to the top of the roof where she's standing. So says the Mishnah, Kivin Shegila Avir Hagag, once it reaches just even to the ear space of the roof, doesn't even go onto the roof itself. Harizu Mugureshes, she already divorced. Again, it doesn't have to be even in the chatzar itself, which in this case is the roof, and as the Gemara will explain what the case is talking about, that it comes onto the roof, which is hers, as long as it comes even into the ear space, she's already considered divorced. So too in the other way. Let's say, Hu milmala vehi milmata. Let's say he's on the top, let's say he's on the roof, and she's on the bottom, she's in the courtyard. Uzrokoi lo, and he throws it to her. So says the Mishnah, Kivin Sheyatzah Mishus Hagag, once it already leaves the area of the roof, meaning it's already into the ear space of the courtyard, which is where she's standing, then even if it's Nimchakui Nisraf, even if it gets erased, let's say by when it's raining and it's being thrown in the ear and the rain will erase the get, a Nisraf, or if it gets burnt, again, but that happens after it's already over the ear space of the chatzar, Hayrezu Mugureshes, again, she's divorced, even though in both of these cases it didn't come onto the space itself, which is hers, whether it's the roof or the courtyard, but since it was in the avir of that place, it's already considered as if it was in that area, and hence, she's going to be divorced. Now, however, the Gemara asks, and especially so on the first case of the Mishnah, but v'holei minter. But the problem is that the airspace of the roof, even if you're going to say that the avir is like the place itself, the air is like the area underneath it. But the problem is, the airspace is not safeguarded. As we explained, that even when we say chatzar is mishum yad isra'boy, is because it's mishtameris, it's safeguarded. Problem is, the airspace is not. Why not? Because a wind could come and blow it away before it lands. Now, if that's the case, then even if, let's say, a wind doesn't blow it away, but something else, let's say, happens to it before it lands, let's say that a dog comes and grabs it away, or the rain comes and erases it. So the question is, why did the Mishnah say that if the husband throws it onto the roof, and it's not even on the roof itself yet, it's just in the airspace of the roof, that she's going to be divorced? But that's what's called in halacha, it's called avir, that's ein sefer lenoach. It's not necessarily going to land. We only view it because that's where the trajectory is going to take us there, and it's going to end up landing, so we already see it as if it's landed. So that's why the avir, the airspace, is like the land itself. But here, it's not safeguarded. Something could happen that could blow it away. It's not necessarily going to land on the roof. If that's the case, then if, let's say, something does happen, or even if it doesn't, but at that point in time yet, it shouldn't be considered that she's divorced, because it's not necessarily sefer lenoach. So that Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel explains that, no, the Mishnah is discussing a case where it is mintar, it is protected. How so? Begag, sheyesh le'makas, and we're talking about a roof, which is a halacha, if, let's say, people use that roof, then you have to put up a fence. So we're talking about that it has a fence. So even though it's just in the airspace, but since it is protected, because if the wind would blow it, it would still stay on the roof because it's a fenced-in roof. So that's why we're saying that even if it's just in the airspace, even if, let's say, something would happen to it, it doesn't make a difference. She's already divorced once it gets into the airspace of the protected roof because it's fenced in. Or another interpretation, Ulubar Menashe Mishmei Davimi Amar, he says, that the case of our Mishnah, when we're talking about that, when it's in the airspace of the roof, it didn't mean just any air, like even if it's 100 amas above the roof. What we're specifically talking about here when we're saying that as long as it got into the airspace of the roof, she's going to be divorced, it means that it's within 3 tfachim of the ground of the roof, where that is like it's already on the roof already. Because the chapachas mishleisha samach legag kagagda, I mean, that's a general rule in halacha. Whenever you have something within 3 tfachim of that other area known as lavud, where in this case that it's within 3 tfachim in that airspace, from within the roof, it's already like it's on the roof itself, and therefore you're not acquiring it for the woman to be divorced because of the airspace. It's actually because of the halacha of being on her roof. Now, moreover, as Rashi points out, the roof that we're talking about is itself 10 tefachim higher than the ground. So the roof itself is a chatzah mishtameris for whatever is on it, because it's a distinct area from everywhere else. So it's safeguarded and it's our own area. Now, but the Avir, we said, that has its own problems, and that we're saying we're not really coming as the din of Avir. We're really coming of the din of the Gag, of the roof, of the roof itself. Now, but didn't the Mishnah say in the Avir? Yeah, we mean the Avir within three Tvachim. Within three Tvachim is like it's on the roof already. So it's really the roof itself, which that's the din of Gag and Chatzer and Kefifa, that could be kind of the get for herself, just like her Yad. The three Tvachim airspace is just like the Gag itself. And the Gag itself is a distinct area, and that's why it's going to be considered Chatz Mishtameres, and that's why she's divorced. So again, either it's the Avir, but it's Mishtameres because there's a Makkah, or even if there's no Makkah, but because it's within three Tvachim, it's like it's on the roof itself. Now, the second case of the Mishnah was, Hu Malmata, but let's say he's on top, he's on the roof, and she's Malmata, she's in the bottom. So he said that once it leaves the airspace of the roof, which means that now it's automatically over the airspace of the chutz around it, which is where she is, then even if, let's say, it gets burnt or something happens to it before it gets down to the bottom, but once, since it came into the airspace, she's already considered divorced. Now, the Gemara asks the same question over here, but v'halei minter, but it's not protected, because the assumption of the Gemara in this question is that the roof is higher than the walls of the chutz itself. So how could we have learned in the Mishnah that once it leaves the domain of the roof, she's going to be divorced? But you have the same question, but it's Ein Soif Lenuach. It's not necessarily going to come and land in the courtyard, because let's say even if it doesn't get, like the Mishnah described, Nisraf, that it gets burnt in the fire, but still a wind could come and blow it away out of the mechitzas, out of the walls of the courtyard, because it's much higher, throwing off a roof. But till the time it gets down to the walls of the courtyard, a wind could blow it away. So why do you say that she's divorced once it gets over into the airspace, but it's leminter, it's not protected. And the chatzer for the woman to be divorced is only if it's mishtameris, if it's considered as part of the chatzer itself. So Amar Yehuda Bar Shmuel, he says, what we're discussing over here is that the lower walls, meaning the walls of the chatzer, are oidfes alal yoynes, actually higher than the walls, than the magka, than the walls of the roof itself. So now, once it leaves the roof itself, it already is in the airspace of this chatzah hamishtameres, because the walls are actually higher than the walls of the roof. So once it comes out of the area of the roof, it's already in the wall space of the chatzah. Now Rashi points out that why did we have to say that the walls of the chatzah are higher, not just equal, to the walls of the gag, of the roof, is because when the husband is within the walls, the boundaries that they put up by the roof, and he has to throw it. Now he has to throw it out. He has to throw it up to cover the walls that are covering the roof. So he has to throw it upward. When he's throwing it upward, if it would be equal the walls of the chatzah, the walls of the roof, it would be going actually higher than the walls of the chatzah. And therefore, when it's going out, that second that it covers, that it clears the walls of the roof, it actually wouldn't be yet into the walls of the chatzah, and then it wouldn't be true, the halacha that the Mishnah is saying, that the moment it leaves the airspace of the gag, she's divorced. So that's where we have to actually say that the walls of the chatzah are higher, so even if when he's throwing it out and it clears his walls, it's still in the airspace of the chatzah, and that's why immediately she's going to be divorced. And v'chein amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Oishri says the same answer. He says, we're talking about actually that the walls of the chatzah are higher than the walls of the roof itself. We're talking about that the lower walls, the walls of the chatzah around the building with the roof on top of it, is actually higher than the walls of the roof itself. Now, however, on this answer, Rabbi Abba asked to Ula on this answer that he said over Rabbi Yechanan, like they all said, come on, so who are you saying our Mishnah is like that's saying this halacha concept that we've been saying up until now, that the avir, the airspace of an area, is like it's munach, as if it's laying already on the floor of that space itself? Because that's what you're saying. They're saying the chatzah where she is, it doesn't even have to land in her chatzah. It could even be in the airspace of her chatzah. So who's that like? Must be Karebi, like Rebbe. The Amma that he says, kluto, that's something that is caught, meaning that it's in the airspace of something, is kemisha honcho, as if it's laying on the ground. Damya, that's what's comparable, because we learned in the Braisa, which is brought Masechta Shabbos in the beginning on Daf Dalma Beis, that says this halacha, that if someone's throwing a Shabbos from Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim, and a Rishus HaRabim is in the middle, Rebbe says you're going to be chayiv because, although it never landed in Rishus HaYachid, we see it kaluta when it's in the airspace of the Rishus HaRam as if it was landed there. So you had a kira from Rishus HaRam, hanocha in Rishus HaYachid, then another akira from Rishus HaYachid, then to Rishus HaRam. So he says you can be chayiv because as if you went and transported from Rishus HaRam to Rishus HaYachid, and Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRam. But Chacham say you're going to be potter because you didn't go from one domain to another, you just passed through the airspace. So similarly, our mission that's holding that even if it's just in the airspace of this woman's domain, she's already considered divorced, sounds like it's going like Rebbe in the Halachas of Shabbos. So Amalei, so Ula answered to Rabbi, said no. I feel a Tamer Rabbanon, you could even say that the Halacha of our mission is going like the Rabbanon over there. Because Ad can li plig Rabbanon ala the Rebbe, where do we find that Rabbanon disagree with Rebbe? And they hold that you don't say klutu kemisha hancha. You don't say that if it's just in the airspace, it's as if it landed in that domain. That's elin yishabes. That's regarding the halachas of Shabbos. With there, primarily, you need to have what's called akira and anocha. You have to pick it up from one domain and put it down in another domain. Yeah, so if it's just in the airspace of Rishus HaYachid, it's not like you did hanocha. It's not like it landed because you actually needed to land. You needed to be put down. It wasn't. It was in motion. Aval hacha mishum inturehu, but here the primary concept is we don't need it to be landed, we need it to be protected. We need it to be in har chatzar hamishtames, in har area which is protected. And even if it's in the airspace, because since we have the walls that are surrounding it, it's considered protected, it's safeguarded, so therefore that will qualify the for the halacha of chatzar mishum yad yisrabai, because it's considered har protected area, just like har yad is something that's mishtameres al yada, so that would qualify. It's different. There it's because you need a hanocha, and here it's just because you need it to be mishtameres. And the Gemara says, v'chein, so too we have the same discussion as we had up until now, was Amrab Asi Amrab Yechen, that he said the same idea. Just like before we had, there was Ula in the name of Rabbi Yechen, now it's Rabbi Asi Amrab Rabbi Yechen. He answered for the halacha of our Mishnah, that I holay minter. How does it help? So he says, "Kigun shayim mechitzas atachtonis oydivis alayyonis." Have that the upper wall, the lower walls, meaning that of the chutz, are actually higher than the walls of the roof itself. So the moment that it leaves, it clears the walls of the roof. It's already in hard airspace. Now on that, Amalei Reb Zeil Rabasi. So Reb Zeil was the one who asked Rabasi, "Come on, so who are you saying our Mishnah is like?" Kerebi, Dama Kulta Kimishon Chadami. That he says that if it's once it's caught in the airspace of an area, it's like it's landed over there. Amalei, so said Rabasi, no, Afilatim Rabbanan. You could say that our Mishnah is even like the Rabbanan. Because Ad can leave plig Rabbanan allow the Rebbe. Where do we find the Rabbanan again, Rebbe? That's El in your Shabbos. That's regarding Shabbos again, because there you need to have it to actually be resting on somewhere. And when it's in airspace, it's not. Aval hacha mishum in turihu. Here the primary concept is, the focus is that it should be protected. V'hacha minta, and even if it's in the airspace, it's already protected through the mechitzas. And that's why the Rabbanan would agree in our Mishnah that she would already be divorced, even if it never landed on the chatzar, as long as it was in the airspace, it was protected through her walls. Now, the Mishnah said, so this halacha applies once it gets to her airspace, even if it's nimchak, even if it gets erased before it even lands. For example, if let's say there was a torrential downpour and the words on the get erased, she's going to be divorced. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies this halacha that Amr Rab Nachman, Amr Rab Barabu, he says, Lo yishanu, we didn't learn this, elish nimchak derech yurida. Only if the get got erased on its way down. Meaning, when the husband is throwing the get, so he throws it upward. As we said before, he has to clear his own wall on his roof, and he's throwing it up so that it could clear the mica. And then, what Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Avu is coming to explain, it didn't get erased until it had already started coming down. I mean, there's the laws of gravity. You throw it up, and then it starts coming downward. So it's when then it got erased on its way down already, then it doesn't make a difference. She's already divorced through the aver of her chatzah. Avol, but says Rav Nachman on Rabba Avua, but if nimchak derech aliyah, if it got erased when it was still going upward, even as Rashi explains that it already cleared the aver of the gag, and it was already in the aver of the chatzah, and you even had the mechitzas atachtonis aidvis, it was already in the airspace of her walls, loy, then she's not going to be divorced. My time, what's the reason? Because meikara loy lemeinach koi. Originally, it was not at the point in time when it was destroyed, when it got erased, it was not on its way down. It wasn't lemeinach koi, because when it's on its way up, that's not considered v'nosn b'yad. It's not considered in the action towards the trajectory of giving it to her. So it's only when it was on its way to land that it's on its way to our domain. That's when we say that it's already in the avers, like the chatzar itself. And only then, if it got erased, would it be considered a valid get. But even if it was already in her chatzar, in the aver of the mechitzas, but if it was on its way up and then it got erased, then it would not be a valid get. Now, moreover, another component of this halacha that Mishnah said was even if it was nisraf, even if it got burnt. So again, the Gemara qualifies Amaram Nachman Amarav Barbua, says Loishanu, we didn't learn that it's going to be a get even if it gets burnt before it ends up landing on the floor of a chatzar. That's only if the throwing of the get into the courtyard was in chronological order before the fire started in the airspace of the chatzar. But if the fire was there before the chatzar, before the get was thrown into the aver of her chatzar, then she's not going to be divorced, even if it ended up into the airspace of the part of her chatzar which is covered by her walls. My time, what's the reason? Because may karl l'sreifa kazal, a similar svara. Because originally, when it was, even if it was on its way down, but it was never intended to be l'meinach koi, because there was a fire and it was going to be burned. So the aver only works as an extension of the floor itself. So if it's going to land, even if it didn't land yet, we view the aver as the land itself. But if it's never going to land, as we said in the previous stuff, let's say when the woman's standing over with her hand, fingers pointing downward, and she's over a river, you can't say that it's in the aver of her Dalet Amos, because what there's no floor there of Dalet Amos, there's a river. Here too, since it's a fire, it was never l'meinach koisi, so then you can't consider the aver as the floor, and therefore, then it's not going to be a get, even if it was in her aver and on its way down. Now, relating to that will be related to the halacha of HaMishnah, the Gemara introduces the following halacha. Amar Rav Chisda says, "Rishuyos chalukos begitin." We consider different areas as distinct regarding to the halachas of gittin. So, for example, if let's say the husband lends a space in his courtyard to his wife to receive her get, so he has not lent his roof or his house. In other words, we don't say, he's not particular. Meaning, wherever you're going to be, I'm giving you area. You need a space to be considered yours that I don't have to put in your hand and that way you could be divorced. We don't say that. Rather, we say that a person does not lend more than one place. He lends one place. Now, as Rashi points out, it's because the Gemara wants to bring a proof from our Mishnah. That's why they introduced Rav Chisda's halacha over here. So on this, the Gemara asks, "Amalei Rami Bar Chama L'Rava." He asks, "Menolei L'Sabaha." Where does the elder, this Rav Chisda, get his halacha from? How does he know that when the husband is lending his wife a space in his domains, that he only lends one place and not two or three, like as if it doesn't make a difference really where? He just said, "Okay, go into my courtyard, but if you end up in my house or my roof, fine. Either one. I'm just want to divorce you. I'm giving you my space." How do we know that he doesn't do that? And it's only where he tells her that he's going to lend her a space. So Amalei, so Rabbi said to Rambam Chama, he says, Masnini, it's our Mishnah. Why? Because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Haisa medis al reisha gag uzrokalat. Our Mishnah opened up by saying that if she's standing on the roof and he throws a tar, kivin shegi aged la'aver hagag harezu magresha. So we said as long as it reaches to the airspace of the roof, she's already divorced. So b'mayiskin, as we already alluded to in the Mishnah, what is the case talking about? And that is, ilem begag dida v'chatzu dida, if it's her domain. Meaning it's her roof, it's her courtyard. So lomeli avihar gag. Why does it have to get to the airspace of the roof, even if it doesn't get there, because the chatzar is hers too, and he could divorce the balkarcha. So why does it have to get to the airspace of the roof? So Ella rather says the Gemara says, and this is Rava all building up to where he's going to get to the proof. Begag di day, the chatzar di day. So what are you going to say? So it's his roof and it's his courtyard, but that's also difficult. Ki egila avihar gag mahava. Then why does it help even if it gets to the airspace of the roof? It's his roof, it's not her roof. So as we said in the previous Mishnah, even if she's together with him in the bed, but if it's his bed, it's not going to help. So if it's his roof, what does that help either? So Ela Pshita, so Rabba just is illustrating, says that rather it's pretty obvious, that Begag Dida V'chatzit Didei must be told that it's her roof and it's his courtyard. That's how they own it. It's her building and he had bought the courtyard around it. So that's why when it only gets to the airspace of the roof, is she going to get divorced? Because that's her gag, but it was his chatzar. And that says Rava, but Amos Sefer. Let's look at the other case of the Mishnah. Mishnah said, "Hu mamala v'chad behimal mato." Let's say he's on the top, he's on the roof, and she's on the bottom, she's in the courtyard. Uzrakulan, he throws a tar. Said the Mishnah, "Kimin shiyatzim shus agag." Once it leaves the airspace of the roof and it enters the airspace of the chatzar, so even if nimchakoy nisrach, even if it gets erased or if it gets burnt before it lands in her courtyard, harizim agresha, she's divorced. So asks Rava, I don't understand. Ve'i begag dida, v'chatzu didei. And if it's like you said, the case what the ratio is talking about, that it's her roof and it's his courtyard, amayim agreshes. Why would she be divorced when it gets into the area of the courtyard. To the contrary, that's actually his courtyard, and the roof is ours. So Elo, says Rava, what would you say? It must be talking about that no, the roof is his, and the courtyard is hers. That's why when it clears and it gets into the area of the courtyard, is she divorced, because it's her courtyard. So then Rava says it's contradictory. The Reisha, you just proved, is talking about when it's her roof and his courtyard. And what? Sefer Begagdidei V'chatzidida, and what the Sefer is the exact opposite? It's where it's his roof and her courtyard? Which one? What's the case? We're obviously talking about, we usually say one type of a case, and we have different illustrations of this halacha, but the Reisha and the Sefer are contradictory. Who owns what? So Elalav, rather, Rava proves, must be that they actually are both owned by him. Just that, the Oishla Makim, that he lent her a space. And each time was a different space, depending where she was standing. The Chad Makim Mushli Inshi, what that must mean, says Rava, proving Rav Chizkiya's halacha, because a person lends only one space. Trei Makim Mushli Mushli Inshi, a person does not lend two spaces. And that's why, if she's in the courtyard, that's where he lent her. And if he's on the roof, she'll not be divorced until he gets into the area of the Chatzar. So to the Reisha, he lent her the roof. If he's in the chatzar and it doesn't make it to the airspace of the gag, even though they're all his and he lent her space, but it has to get exactly where he lent her. He does not lend her the space in the chatzar too. It's only the area where he lent her. That proves of Chizkiya's halacha. So Amalei, so to that, Rami Bachama responded to Rabbi, says, Midi Iria, is there any proof over here from the Mishnah? No. Dilma Hakad Isa, Vahakad Isa, maybe each one is told about their own unique case. Maybe Reisha Begagdida V'chatzadidei. Maybe the Reisha is actually talking about it when it's her roof and his courtyard. And therefore we need the airspace of the roof, which is hers. Sefer Begagdidei V'chatzadidei. And the Sefer is talking about when it's his roof and it's her courtyard. And therefore she only gets divorced when it reaches the airspace of the chatzar, which is hers. But, says Rami Bachama, maybe if both of them would be his, and he lent her space, maybe I would actually tell you that there's no proof to Rav Chizkiya's halacha, and that he's not particular, and wherever it ends up, it would be considered that that's where he lent her, because he lends her more than one space, and she would be divorced. There's no proof from our Mishnah, because yes, maybe they're talking about different cases. So therefore, that was, again, the discussion of Rav Chizkiya's halacha, Rav attempting to prove it, and Rav Chizkiya is saying it's not a proof. Now, Amar Rav, Rav says, the following halacha, which will quote one of the concepts we said just before, Rav says, Shalish midis begitin. There are three different measurements, rules by Gittin, that are unique, different than all other prohibitory law, and specifically how it's pointed out the difference between Gittin and the halachas of Shabbos. First one is what we mentioned before. Hadamai Rebbe Kaluta Kamisha Huncha. This that Rebbe said regarding halachas of Shabbos, that when it's in the airspace of something, it's as if it landed in it, like we said that if you're throwing from a Shasa Rabim to another Shasa Rabim. But in middle was a Shasa Yachad that it went over that airspace, Rebbe holds you're going to be Chayiv. Now, Upligi Rabban Nalau, but in the halachas of Shabbos, the Rabban disagree, and they say that it's not like it landed. Says Rava, Hanemili, that was only said that the Rabban disagree in Yin Shabbos. Aval Hacha Mishumi Turihu, but, and we mentioned this idea before, but by Gittin, the primary concept is not that it should be as it was put down to have Hanacha, it's just that it should be protected. Vahaminter, and it is protected because it's already in the airspace that's covered by walls, and therefore even if it didn't land, the Rabbanu would agree this is where Gittin is different than Shabbos, that Kluta would be Kemisha Huncha as the halacha of our Mishnah. Second unique of Gittin from Shabbos, Vahad Amr of Chizda. Chizda said halacha by Hilcha Shabbos, Noatz Kana B'Shus HaYachav. If someone stuck a pole in to a private domain, Uberoishu Traskel, and on the top of that pole is a basket, then that basket is actually in an area that's higher than the walls of the courtyard itself. Now, Vizarek, and now someone throws something from Rishus Arabim, Benachag above, now it lands on top of this basket, which is in the area of the Chatzar, but it's higher than the walls of the Chatzar. Says Rav Chizda, Afil Gvoye Meya Amma, even if the basket is 100 Amas high, Chayiv is going to be liable, because it's considered as if he did an Akira, he picked it up from the public domain, and as if it landed in the Rishus HaYachad in the private domain. Why? The Visha Rishus HaYachad Oyla Adl Rakiya, because for the halachas of Shabbos, we consider a private domain as if its area is up to the sky. Now, that's in spite of the fact that for the halachas of Rishus HaRam, of a public domain, as the Gemara tells in Masechta Shabbos, Nav Zayin, Nav Ches, that it only goes up until an area of 10 Fachim, but higher than that, we don't consider it as Rishus HaRabim. For Rishus HaYachad, we consider it up to the sky. So even if it's not covered by the walls of the chatzar, and it's so high up, but since it's within the area, it's over the airspace of the Rishus HaYachad, we consider it as Rishus HaYachad, and you can be chayiv from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. That says Rava, Hanamili, when did we say this, that it's as if you put it onto the ground that the pole is on top of? That's La'inyan Shabbos, that's regarding the halachas of Shabbos. Aval hacha, but over here, let's say where if a woman had a courtyard and she stuck a pole into the ground and the top of the pole is higher than the walls of the courtyard itself, and on top of that was a basket, and the husband throws the get into that basket, says Rava, she would not be divorced. Because it's not seifa lenuach la'aretz, as we've been mentioning this concept up until now, where we consider the aver as like the ground, is only if because it's ultimately going to end up and landing on that ground. And the reason why it's not necessarily going to be like that is because the wind could come and blow it beyond the walls, because it's higher than the air of the wall. And that's because the reasoning of the halacha of get is mishum inturihu. The primary concept is that it should be protected, as we've been saying, because of chatzah hamishtameres, which the whole halacha that we know you don't have to put it biyada, which the pasuk says v'nasim biyada, put it in our hand, because we learn that it means like her hand, which is that it's something that's protected by herself, but it has to be protected. Here it's not protected, v'holei minter, it's not protected because it's higher than the walls and it can be blown away. So for the halachas of gittin, we're not going to be considering it as like the rishus of the chatzah itself, and hence she would not be divorced if it landed in that basket, which is higher than the walls of the chatzah itself. Again, if a wind could come and blow it out beyond that area. Now we continue on Talmud Beis with Rava says, and the third area, which is distinct gittin from Shabbos, is v'hada amar v'huda mishmol. He says, again regarding the halachas of Shabbos, Layadim adam begagza. A person should not stand on one roof. The yikalid may gesham and catch the rainwater that's flowing on his friend's roof. Migaga shachaveh should not come and take that rainwater from his friend's roof. Now the reason being is because that's considered taking from one domain to another domain. Again, unless if they made an eruvi chatzeris, which is to consider it as if it's one big domain, because even though people don't usually live on their roofs, but they're still considered as if they're separate domains because this is from one house and this is from another house, just like you can't carry from one house to another house without an eruv chatzeris. The roofs are the same thing. Now, the reason for this is, shekashem shediyur in chaluk and milmata, just like the dwellers are distinct in the building beneath the roof, kach diyur in chaluk and milmata, so too they're considered distinct in the roofs above. Now, regarding the halacha, so that's what the Gemara says, that's what Rabbi is saying. Hanamili, when did we say that we consider as if the areas of the roofs are considered distinct areas like the areas of the houses beneath them? That was only the Inyan Shabbos in regards to the halachas of Shabbos. But the Inyan Get, regarding the halachas of Get. So for example, let's say the husband had two roofs. He had a few buildings, real estate, and there were two roofs right next to each other. And he lent her space on one of the roofs to receive her Get. And she ended up reaching out and receiving it on the roof of the neighboring building. Here we would not say that the domains are considered distinct, because although we said previously that regarding the halachas of gittin, that trei mekayim is lemushli inshi, the husband does not lend his wife two areas, that was only mishum kepedahu. That was because the husband's makbid. No, I'm lending you this area, I'm not lending you some other area. Meaning, say, the husband would be willing to lend his wife his courtyard to receive her get, but he's particular about his house. No, that's not, I didn't lend you that area. But that's what Rav is coming to say, but v'kulei hai, but so much. Meaning when you have two roofs near each other and no one usually even used the roofs, like Habdi Inshi, their people are not particular. So that doesn't enter the halacha of trei mukaymis lemushli Inshi. Their person would lend, he would not be particular. And therefore, since the primary concept over here is about his particularity, not about rishuyas like by Shabbos, so for Shabbos we'll consider it as different domains, but regarding gittin, we're not going to consider it as different domains. And even though he lent her this roof, if she catches on the other roof, it will be considered like he lent that to her, and therefore for that it will be like one rishus, and she will be divorced. Those are three different three halachas that are distinct gittin from the halachas of Shabbos. Now, continuing on this theme that we've been discussing about mechitzais that contain the area of her rishus, and moreover that has to be minter, has to be an area that's protected, is mishtameres. So Amabaya Abaya says the following halacha: shtei chatzeres zulef nemizu. If there are two courtyards, one within the other one, meaning the ones on the outside and the ones on the inside, pnimi shalah v'chitzayne shalai. The inner courtyard is owned by her, and the outer courtyard is owned by him. Now, moreover, says Abaya, we're talking about a case that umechitzas hachitzaynos, that the walls of the outer courtyard are oidvis ala panimius, are larger, are higher than the walls of the inner courtyard. And vizark, and bizarkula, and now the husband's throwing the getar from the outside. Says Abaya, kimin shegila avir mechitzas hachitzaynos, once it reaches even the area of the ear space of the outer walls, where again, as the Rishonim explained over here, meaning to say that it didn't yet reach, it's over Harkorcha. It has to be in the airspace of Harkorcha, which is the inner area. So it is there. But it's still higher than the walls of Harkorcha. But it's within the width of the his outer walls. So again, it's over the area of Harkorcha, but it's still higher than her walls, but it's within his outer walls. Says Abaye Harizu Mugreshus. In that case, she will be divorced. My time, what's the reason? Didn't we say that it's only considered the aver of a chatzer mishtameris of her airspace when it's only within the walls of our chatzer and it's only within the walls of his outer courtyard? So that Abaye explains because Penimis Gufa b'mechitza sachitzainu komintura. The inner courtyard protects itself with the walls of the outer courtyard, meaning, therefore, it's as if, as the way Rashi puts it, as if the walls of his courtyard are meshubed and will acquire for her as if it was her walls, because she utilizes the outer walls that protects her from the elements, from different things on the outside. So if it's over her courtyard and it's within his walls function for her chatzur too. So though she has her own walls, but his walls function too, and therefore it is going to be considered mishtameris for her chatzur, which it is over her airspace, but above her walls, but within his walls. Now, says Abaya, that's only a halacha that applies to a chatzur. Mashenkin b'kupas, but this would not apply to boxes. In other words, let's say you have shtei kupas du'b'teyosu. Let's say you have two boxes, one within the other. Now, panimishala, again, the same type, but just with boxes. The inner box is hers. V'chitzeinishala, and the outer box is his. Uzrakula, and he throws to her get. Says Abaya, afile gila aver panimis enim ugreshes. Now, here he's going to the other extreme. Here, even if it reaches the airspace of the inner box, so not only that it's beyond, it's his box, it's not only is it over her box, and even within the walls of his box, even inside the walled area of her box, in Mugaresh is not going to be divorced. My time, what's the reason? So here, because the holoinach, because it didn't land yet on the bottom of her box. Now, as Rashi points out, the walls of a utensil, of a receptacle, is not made its utility for the airspace to protect it. In other words, a chatzur is something that you use the area. So the avir, as long as mishtameres, a safeguard, is like it's the chatzur itself. So that would make her megureshes when it's already in the avir of chatzur, gagar, and grafifa. But a kli is not used for its airspace. No one does stuff in that airspace. It's meant to what be placed inside of it. So until it's not placed, it's not going to be considered as if it's already an acceptance of her get. So even if it's in that aver, it has to finally land. So extremes what's going to be in these seemingly two parallel cases of her chatzur within his chatzur and her box within his box. Now, the Gemara asks, however, but the chinach mayhava, the Gemara is even bothered that what would it even help even if it does land inside her box? But especially according to that opinion that holds, but what this case that you just described is when it's the utensil of the purchaser within the domain of the seller. For practicality, we're calling the husband the seller, and he's giving her something which she's purchasing, which is the get. Now, it's her box within his box. So her utensils is in his domain. So it doesn't even work, even if it does land in the box. According to that opinion, that holds that you cannot be acquiring something in your keli if it's in the rishus of the one who's selling it to you because it never really left his domain. So that the Gemara answers, Hacham Eskin, no, what we're discussing over here is Bekupa She'en Lo Shalayim. We're talking about a box that has no bottom. So therefore, when it lands on the bottom of the inner box, it's actually landing on the land, which is not owned by him. It's only the box that's owned by him, but actually the boxes have no bottom. So the airspace, yes, on the outside is his. But inside the inner box, when it lands on the bottom, it's landing on the ground, which is the area of her box, not owned by him, because his doesn't have a bottom to say that her keli is in his keli, and therefore it's not in Bishus Meicher, and that's why it's going to be valid by the box, if at least it lands on the bottom. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Starting now with the halachas for the next Mishnah is of certain invalidations, psulim, that are in a get, that apply to the halachas of a get. So the Mishnah tells us the following machlekes. B'shami Aymim, they say, Paiter Adam Ishtoi Beget Yashin. A person could divorce his wife with an antiquity, with an old get. Uvisil Aysim Vesil say, no, a get Yashin is invalid. Says the Mishnah Be'ezeh, get yashin, what's considered an old get? So the for the halachas of a get yashin is kol shenisyachri ma ma'achar shekasvala. If he was secluded with her after he already wrote the get for her, then that will invalidate the get, and we'd have to write over a new get if he wants to divorce her. So the Gemara asks, but my kamifuge, what is their machlekes? What's the fundamental principle they're disagreeing on? So the Gemara says, Bishami Sabri, they hold, lo yaminan gezeira, we don't say that we're concerned, shema yirma gita kaim lebna, that maybe people are going to come to say that, oh, the divorce was before the conception of this child, and hence that means this child that they had from themselves were actually born after he had already divorced her. Well, Bisul Savi, but Bisul hold that, no, Amrina, we do say gezeira that we're concerned, shema yirma gita kaim lebna, no, that people might come to say that actually the get was before the conception of the child. In other words, because maybe the husband might write a get for his wife, but he's going to hold on to it and say, you know, I want to divorce her, maybe we can work this out. I just want the get to be ready. But he might delay the giving 2-3 years between when he wrote it and when he gives it. Now, in that interim, he didn't yet divorce her. Now, during that time, he might conceive a child from her. Now, and then he'll end up, you know, at some later point, he will end up divorcing her. Now, the problem is, some later point in the future, people are going to realize and they're going to see the date on the get, and they're going to realize that the date in the get was obviously before this child was conceived. And people are going to think that he probably gave it to her when he wrote it. And therefore they're going to say that this child was born when this man and woman weren't even married. She was single at that time when they had already divorced her. And that's going to create a pagam. It's going to create a deficiency in this child. That people are going to say that he wasn't born from the appropriate marriage between the man and the woman. So therefore, since Basil is concerned with that, if they're secluded, so then there could be that they had relations and therefore created conception. Then we say, okay, that's invalidates the get because we might run into this problem, and then you're going to have to give over a new get. Now, however, Amar Baba Amar Shmuli says, but imnisis leiteitze, if she ended up getting married with such a get yashin, then we don't make her get divorced because biblically, of course, it's a valid get. It's just a concern that maybe someone might see it and then it's going to create a pagam in the son. Okay, but when she's married, we don't make her get divorced. Now, Ve'ikadami, those say even more. That Amr Baba Amr Shmuel, what Rabba Amr Shmuel had said was in this Garsha, not only that she got married, even if she didn't get married yet with it, but if she got divorced with this get Yashan, but her husband went overseas and it would be difficult to get a new get from him, she could initially go ahead and get married with it because it is a valid get. We don't want it to be an aguna because of this. She really is divorced. It's just that there's a concern that maybe someone's going to see, okay, we'll live with that because that's not really a biblical halach, it's not a real valid pagam in the get itself. The get is kosher. So again, that's something that we'll have to deal with if someone will end up seeing the get and noticing that the date is before the conception of this child, which maybe she conceived. There's a lot of maybes over here. Maybe she conceived, maybe people are going to see the get. So therefore, if it's already too late, then she could get married with this get yashin. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on different psulim, different invalidations in the get itself. So the Mishnah describes a case about someone, let's say, is in Bavel. And the Sefer writes that it's in this year for some other government. In other words, you have to write the government, the dating towards the government that the country that you're in. But the halacha of the Mishnah is discussing when he wrote a different government. So for example, let's say they were in Bavel when they were writing the get. But kasav l'shem malchus she'eino genes. Instead of writing to the malchus of Babel, they wrote regarding a different government, which is an inappropriate malchus, which Gemara explains what is considered a malchus she'eino genes, which government are they referring to, which malchus, which kingdom are they referring to. Or let's say they write l'shem malchus Modai. They write for the kingdom of Modai, or l'shem malchus Yavin, or regarding the kingdom of the Greeks. And again, that's what we're going to say, that's going to be a get puzzle, because you have to write it for the shame of the malchus, for the government, for the kingdom, that the country that you're in, that you're writing to get, as Gemara will explain. So that's possible. Or let's say you write it Labin Habayis. You're writing according to the years of from when the Beis HaMikdash was built. Or L'Churban Habayis, of when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Again, there it's also going to be possible, because he didn't write it the dating of the years from according to the government for the Malchus of that country. Or so too, if let's say Hayu Ben Mizrach because of Emayim. Let's say they were in the east, and they wrote according to what it is in the west. Or b'mayir because of b'mizrach, or they're in the west, and they wrote according to what's in the east. So we're saying these are it's a get puzzle. And moreover, the Mishnah says, even if she gets married with this get, teitzei mizeh u'mizeh, she has to leave both her first husband, even though, as we're saying, it's not really a valid get, still she has to leave that husband, and she has to leave the second husband, who for sure she has to leave because she was never really divorced, and she was an Eishes Ish all the while. Now, moreover, the Mishnah says, U'tzricha get mizeh u'mizeh. She requires a get from both the first husband, which that makes sense, because the first husband really, the first get wasn't a valid get, but we're saying that once she went and was an Eishes Ish with another man, so then she has to leave her first husband, as like a Saita is, so she has to leave the first husband. But even though the Kedushin of the second husband really wasn't even Kedushin even, so why she need a get from the second husband? So the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Peches Amud Beis explains the reason is because maybe people are going to say that, wait, we know that the first husband gave her a get. They didn't know that the get was pasul, and that's why this whole thing started. But they're going to say that, oh, the first one gave her a regular get, and she married the second man. Now, she's leaving the second man, and Eishes Ish is leaving without a get. So, although really she was never really married, she wasn't Eishes Ish of the second man, because she's actually Eishes Ish of the first man, who she's now getting a new get from. But since people might not realize that, so rabbinically we're required to have a get from the second husband too. Moreover, ve'ein lo, and she doesn't get normal things that a wife gets, although let's say she is the wife of the first husband still, but she doesn't get like ksuba, she doesn't get her ksuba, neither from the first husband, who she was really never divorced from, and neither from the second husband, who she thought she was married to, but she doesn't get her ksuba, her dowry. V'lo peres, she doesn't get neither the halachas of peres, meaning peres is usually something that goes from her to them. So what are we saying that she doesn't get the peres? So the halacha is that the rabbis instituted that the husband has to redeem her from captivity to parallel the peres, the produce of her nechsei melug that they get. So it's regarding this that she doesn't get. Even though, let's say, they were taking her peres, she doesn't get redeemed from captivity from any of these husbands. V'loi mezainis, neither does she get fed by them. V'loi belois, neither even the garments that she brought into the marriage, which is hers, that usually when she leaves the marriage, those worn-out garments she takes back with her. Here she doesn't even take them back with her. And this is a rabbinic penalty, as the Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Tzadi Alfam and Beis, because she should have read the get, she should have realized that the get was pasul, and she didn't, so we consider her still, so now it's your fault. You didn't read the get appropriately. You should have known that you really never divorced from the first husband. And you're like a regular Saita, like a regular Eishes Ish who had relations with another man. So like a regular Saita, you become forbidden to the first husband, the second husband, and you run into all these problems, many of them rabbinic penalties. And so it says the Mishnah, lo yazeh v'lo yazeh. She doesn't get any one of these regular wifely gifts from her husband. She doesn't get it neither from her first husband or her second husband. Now, moreover, the Mishnah tells us, if not lemizeh mizeh, and if she does take any of them from her husband's, tachas, she has to give it back, because she has no rights to it, either because of the actual halacha itself, or because of the rabbinic penalties. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah, v'havlad mamzer mizeh mizeh, and any children that she has from them are going to be considered illegitimate children. Now, the second one, for sure, because she's really still married to the first one, again, it wasn't a valid get, because the dating wasn't written appropriately. Now, moreover, says Rashi explains that if, let's say, the first husband takes her back, because really, biblically, she's still married to the first husband, if she has a child with him, then rabbinically, the child's going to be considered as a mamzer. This is part of this rabbinic halacha that we say that she is, although she thought she was divorced, but rabbinically, we say you should have read the get, and you're not, so we consider you forbidden to your first husband, and if you have a child, rabbinically, we're going to consider him as a mamzer. Now, therefore, the Gemara Yevamos Pei Tesma Beis explains that even though we're going to be considering this child from the first husband, again, if she comes back to him after she realizes that she was really never divorced from him, that he's a mamzer, that he'll still be forbidden to marry a mamzeres. Because again, biblically, he really is a kosher. Only rabbinically, we consider him a mamzer. So therefore, although a mamzer usually is allowed to marry a mamzeres, here the child of the first husband, again, if she goes back to him and has a child, will be forbidden in a mamzeres. Now, moreover, the Mishnah continues, v'lo zeh v'zeh metamei lo. Now, even though usually a husband that's a kohen could make himself tamei in the burial of his wife, here, neither husband can go ahead and become tamei if, let's say, he's a kohen, because because what we're discussing over here is that she's not really there. That's part of the penalty. We don't consider her the wife of either husband. And neither husband, although usually a husband has certain rights in the wife, here neither of them merit lebe mitziyasa, not in her when she finds an object, lebe maisideo, not in her earnings, lebe faras nadira, neither in nullification of her vows. Usually a husband could do that. Here a husband, neither one of them has the rights in that. Moreover, the Mishnah continues. Haisa bas Yisrael, if let's say she was a kosher Jewish woman, so nifselus min hakahuna, now she becomes invalidated from marrying a kayin because she's considered as a zayna. Because generally a zayna, which the Torah says is not allowed to marry a kayin, is a married woman that's mizana, has relations with another man when she's married to her husband, where, as Rashi brings from the Targum Unkelus and Bereishis, when the brothers of Dina said, Hakazoina, is Shechem going to treat her like a zayna? Targum translated as Nafkis Bara, a woman that goes out, meaning that she's designated for this man, and she goes out to another man. So that's considered, as we see in the Torah, as a term of a zayna. So this woman who was married to the first husband and had relations, she thought she was married to the second husband, and really wasn't. If she was doing it as a married woman, she becomes a zayna, and therefore she becomes possible to marry a kain. Now the Mishnah continues on top of Peyam and Aleph, and if let's say she's a bas levi, where up until now she was allowed to have the meiser of her father, because she's a daughter of a levi, she becomes invalidated now, min ha-meiser, from partaking of meiser. Which the Gemara in Yevamos Tzadi Aleph and Min Aleph explains that that's really just a rabbinic penalty, because even a bas Yisrael, anyone's allowed to have meiser, so it's just a penalty that we said that now, as the daughter of a levi, she cannot partake of meiser. And if she was a bas kayin, if she was a daughter of a kayin, she becomes now a apostle min ha-truma, from truma, as the Gemara Masechta the Saita that Chof Chesem and Aleph explains. It says in the Parsha of Saita, which is what this woman is, essentially, she was a married woman and had relations with another man. Again, although she thought she was divorced and marrying another man, she should have read it and she should have realized that it's not. So it says the word venitma three times, that she became defiled. One is coming to tell that she's now forbidden to her husband. One that she's forbidden to the man that she had relations with. And one is that now she's forbidden to have partake of truma, where although that she was a bas kayin, and if let's say she doesn't have any children, she could go back to her father's household, the saita, the woman that's mizana, cannot go ahead and have partake of truma anymore. Now the Mishnah continues and tells us, ve'ein yershin shel zeh, and neither of her inheritors, from whichever husband it is that she had children from them, or ve'yershin shel zeh, or the inheritors of the other man that she had children from, because she was seemingly married to two men, now, she's forbidden to both of them, as we said. Now, neither inheritors are Yoshim Ksubasa, neither of them inherit Har Ksuba. Which the Gemara Yevamos Tzadi Aleph Min Aleph asks, what Ksuba are you talking about? You just said a few lines before that she doesn't get a Ksuba, so what are we saying that neither do Har Yoshim inherit Har Ksuba? So the Gemara there answers, it's talking about what's called Ksuba's Benin Dichrin, which the Chacham instituted, that Har male's children, when if she dies, when the husband's still alive, so although her husband inherits her, and obviously she doesn't end up taking a ksuba because ksuba is only when she gets divorced or widowed from her husband, she dies when he's still alive, he inherits everything from her, so the rabbis instituted, but that value of her ksuba, let's say the husband has children from many wives, her children that she had from him inherit more than the rest of the brothers, the amount of her ksuba. So that's what our Mishnah is saying, but here they do not take that because the penalty that she doesn't get her ksuba even extends to her male children, what's called the ksubas benin dichrin of the male sons. They don't even get that. Not the penalty is not just for her, it's even extending all the way down to her children. If, let's say, she dies first, and then the husband dies, they don't get that. Now, moreover, the Mishnah says, that meso, and if these two men die, meaning her first husband and her seemingly second husband, so achav shel zeh v'achav shel zeh chelzen, so let's say if they die without any children, so then both of their brothers have to do chalitzatar. So, as Rashi points out, the brother of the second, quote, husband only does chalitza rabbinically because really she was never married to him, so what would be the point of doing chalitza? So, and that is like, as we explained previously by the halacha of the get, because maybe people are going to say that really the first husband did divorce her, and the second man really did marry her, and if he's dying without any children, people are going to say, oh, a yevama could go l'shur, could marry someone else without having gibum chalitza. So rabbinically, we require that the second one's brother has to also do chalitza for her. But again, of course, the brother of the first man would have to do biblically chalitza because she really was never divorced from him because it wasn't a valid get, and therefore if he died without any children biblically, it requires yibum chalitza. But v'loy miyam. But again, because of this penalty, although really biblically the first brother could do yibum and even the second one could go ahead and marry her too because she was never married to his brother, which is the second man. But because of the penalty, again, as we said, that we consider her forbidden to them, we say that neither could the brothers do Yibam Tar too. Now that was, again, regarding one psul in the get. So let's say the dating was wrong. It was written according to a different malchus or in a different location. It says the Mishnah, moreover, Shina Shmai Ushma. Let's say his name or her name was altered in how it was written on the get, or shem ira b'shem ira, or there was an error in writing his appropriate city or her appropriate city. So again, the same thing applies. You have to be writing precisely the dating and the placing and the names. So if she gets married to someone else, teitzim mizeh mizeh, we consider her still like a married woman because it wasn't a valid yet. Therefore, she would have to leave now both the boil and the baal. And v'chala drachamo elu, and all the ways that we just mentioned previously regarding what's the halacha when you have the inappropriate date, also applies ba, also applies, same thing is if you didn't write his name and her name correctly, or her city and his city correctly, you have all those different halachas again, where she doesn't get a ksuba, peiris, the husband doesn't inherit, all these different things, all these halachas apply, because again, if it wasn't a get, essentially she was a married woman all this time, and therefore she's like a regular saita, a woman that's mezana, as the eish hashish, and therefore all these halachas and rabbinic penalties would apply to such a woman.